But anyway, thank you for having us today. You know, when I got the call, I was really excited. I love being used by the Lord. I've committed to the Lord that I will preach His word. And my goal in my preaching is to really please the Lord. I don't do it to please man, although when man is pleased, I like that too. But I want to tell you, the Lord is my God, and I want to make sure He's happy with what I did, because it's all for Him. Amen?
Amen.
So anyway, I love the Lord, and I love preaching His word. And you know, when I think it was it Alan?
David.
Somebody called me to preach here. And I said, sure, I can do that. Well, I had a message all prepared for the village. And the Lord changed all that. I'm like, well, that's fine. That's usually what the Lord does. So anyway, what He gave me was the parable of the Good Shepherd. This is something I want us to understand. Now, I use different translations. I love the King James, and I love the New King James. But I've learned that as I look through different translations, it gives me a lot of times even a deeper understanding of what the Lord is trying to show me. So bear with me if you're King James only or whatever your translation is. So, Lord, we just thank You for this time today, and we share Your word. Lord, bless Your people. Holy Spirit, make it so real, Your word, in our lives. And let us just take it to heart. Lord, not just as something that we hear, but what we do in life. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John chapter 10, I want to start with verse 1. And what it says here in my translation is, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up from another way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3 now. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, just a note here. In this parable, the gatekeeper is represented by John the Baptizer. And who recognized Jesus as the shepherd. So John opens the gate for him to be introduced to Israel at Jesus' baptism. So this it all has symbolism, but it's happening to Jesus right then. It's just sort of a new period here, and Jesus is sharing this with his disciples. Verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told them in this parable, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Do you ever notice all the voices that are going on in the world today? Do y'all hear a lot of things, you know, like the government, we've got it all together, we'll take care of you, and all of this. Then the COVID hits, and then they had us lock up our churches, and nobody could assemble, and all the craziness that went on. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we have to learn to hear the voice of the Lord and be obedient to that. And so whenever I or whoever might fill in for Pastor and shares with you, you need to hear the voice of God, not just the voice of the preacher. You understand me? because there's a lot of things going around, and I don't think the people that would stand in your pulpit would try to hinder or stop or do anything wrong, but sometimes they may have a wrong understanding. Folks, you don't know. I usually will never use the same sermon twice because I always find changes that I have to make. So I might as well just start over. And so I'll probably learn more from this message than what you will. But anyway, we need to hear and listen to the voice of the Lord. You don't know what parables are for? Why Jesus spoke in parables all the time? I heard one pastor say this. He said the reason Jesus spoke in parables all the time was so people got a picture of what he was trying to say so that they could understand it better. Right? Not according to Scripture. The purpose of parables, I'm just throw this in, this is extra, okay? It's in Mark chapter 4, you can read it for yourselves, Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. It says, afterwards, Jesus' disciples and those close to him remained behind to ask Jesus about his parables. And this is what he said to them. This he said to them, the privilege of intimately knowing the mysteries of God's kingdom realm has been granted to you. Folks, what I'm trying to share here is for you. That's why we're breaking the parable of the Good Shepherd down so that we can understand it deeper and not just get a picture. So the privilege is for us to know the mysteries of God. Do you ever notice how a lot of times before I was saved, I couldn't understand the Bible at all? Do you know, I tried. And then I'm first saved and I get in my Bible and I'm reading it. And I had to find a guy at work, a backslidden Baptist. And I would ask him what I always carried a little New Testament Bible with me. And I would open it. I said, Al, what does this mean? And he would say, oh, well, this means this and that. I'm like, okay, every day. In fact, he told me that he had to get right with God and start reading his Bible and going to church again just so he could answer my questions. So God had two purposes, right? To teach me and then bring him closer to the Lord. But you know, you can't understand, and that's how we are sometimes as we read the Bible. There's a mystery to God's Word. There's a depth. You see, God's Word is alive. It's not just like a book, although it is in print, but there's so much life in there that you just get more and more and more all the time. It's a living Word. And so let's continue on. So it's so that we might know the mysteries of God's kingdom realm has been granted to you, but not to the others who where everything is revealed in parables. All right. This is what I want you to see here. Verse 11. It says, talking to the outsiders. The Aramaic is backward ones. That's what it means. The backward ones. Jesus spoke allegorically so that those who didn't care to understand couldn't understand. Yet he knew that the hungry ones would seek out the hidden meanings of parables and understand the secrets of God's kingdom realm. It is still that way today. Verse 12, for even when they see what I do, they will not understand, they will not hear what I say, and they will learn nothing. Otherwise, they would repent and be forgiven. Folks, the reason I looked that up before is because it always threw me. Where Jesus said, yeah, just keep preaching. He says, they're gonna hear you and not understand. They're gonna see things that happen and they're not gonna perceive. And he says, so you just keep doing it. And I'm like, wouldn't you really want them to understand? But now I know why. Because there's some people that really don't care. They really don't care about the Word of God. They'll come to a church service, sit and listen. It's like, okay, well, that's probably good for you, but I'm not there yet. I'm not really interested. Have you ever met anybody like that? And it's like, man, get hungry for the Word, people. Get hungry. There's so much in God's Word. And I've just got a few minutes. I got to go. And I'll have to stop then. All right, verse 4 now of John 10. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will never follow a stranger, but run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6 now, Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand that he was what he was telling them. They didn't understand, again, the allegory of the Old Testament law, that the sheepfold that became the religion of Judaism. Wow. It became the religion of Judaism. Like a pen that confines the people. Jesus is the gate, not only allowing everyone in, but he let them out. There's freedom. In the New Testament, to enjoy all riches of his pasture. The Holy Spirit, now he's talking, the Holy Spirit is here the gatekeeper. Holy Spirit is the gatekeeper. And the false prophets and Pharisees are the thieves and the robbers. Now you remember just before that, Jesus healed a blind man. He was blind from birth, put mud on his eyes, and the man was healed, told him to wash, and he was healed. Well, the Pharisees pulled him in and said, how did you get healed? Well, he's telling them how he's healed. They didn't believe him, even called his family in and asked him, was he born blind? And so they called him in again, the blind man, who was blind, that is, and asked him again. He says, didn't you hear me the first time? I mean, my answer's not going to change. Of course, my words. And they said, no, you tell us, who did this man do it and how did he do it? And he told them again. And he says, are you too wanting to be his disciple? And they ended up kicking him out of the Jewish religion. They kicked him out of the temple. You see, these are the thieves and those that come in, that sneak in at night. And, you know, they want to steal people. They want to steal souls from God and from Jesus. They want to fill them with lies and get them on the wrong trail, the wrong path, believing the wrong things. And they want to pin you up. Do you ever notice how a lot of religions are? Is, man, after I got saved in church and a little Baptist church, great church, but there were so many things I couldn't do anymore. Do you ever notice that? See, they're pinning me up. There's so many things. There's sin. Yeah, you don't want to do that. But you couldn't play pinochle or hearts. You know, there was so much I couldn't do. It's like, man, give me a list. And I was afraid to get the list because it would be so long, you know. And it's like, man, it was easier to be a sinner than to be saved. I met a man in the UP years ago, when we first got up here, maybe a year or so that we had been here. And this guy had a little S10 pickup. And we met him in a rest area up there. And he had the Bible all over his truck. Do you ever see anything like that? nice big print, and the whole truck was covered with scripture. And so I told my wife, I said, I just want to go in and talk to this guy and just kind of compliment him and kind of build him up for his boldness to do this. And so I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, I read the King James and all of that. And I said, well, that's good. I said, I read the King James a lot too. But I said, I do kind of like the New King James because it helps me. And I thought he was going to fight me. He became so angry at me because I read the New King James. I was going to hell for sure, and he knew I was the devil. You know, and we get like that to where, well, I'm a certain denomination and I believe this and I believe that, and you can't tell me any different. We become unteachable. The hearts become hard. We're just penned up. We're penned up in there, as Jesus is talking about putting him in and him being the gate. But when he says, I let them all come in, I don't restrict. I want you to come in because I love you. But Jesus said, I also let them out. And then I walk before them and I lead them. And they know my voice because they know then that they can really trust me. Folks, there's a lot of things you can't trust anymore. Isn't that right? But you can trust Jesus. And if you'll let him lead you, and the big thing is, if you will follow him, and then if you'll listen to his voice, you're going to get through a lot of hardships and a lot of bad times and a lot of bad things, even when you don't understand why. But see, when you trust him, you don't really have to know why. You'll know later. But you may not know now. But at least you can trust him because he's a good shepherd. And he'll lead you. All we do is follow. Seems to be pretty easy, doesn't it? Just follow. Jesus talks to you as he goes. You hear his voice. He reassures you when you're hurting and when you're down. And he says, it's okay. I'll see you through. Even this, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. Just trust me. It's okay. You know, we got a cat. Sometimes I'd like to just find a home for her. But there's times she gets a little, if you ever heard of a scary cat or scaredy cat, she's a scaredy cat. Just a different noise. And she's like that. But I can talk to her when she hears me talk to her. She just settles down. And I'll do that. At first she might think that I'm upset with her, but she'll hear me. It's okay. It's okay. I'll take care of you. And she settles right down because she knows my voice and she can trust me. But folks, if animals can do it, surely we can. We can learn the voice and we can learn to follow. God is so good. Let me tell you. All right, let's continue on. So they didn't understand. Verse 7, Jesus said to them again, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. That is, the robbers and the thieves, the ones they didn't know. Verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and he'll find pasture. Even in the troubled times that we're in today, folks, let me tell you, it looks hopeless, doesn't it? But it's never hopeless with the Lord. We have it all in Jesus. We got to learn to trust him. Now, let me tell you about a sheep pen. A sheep pen was an enclosure with walls, no roof on it, but it had the walls. And would often, it held all of the sheep of the people in town. So at night, the shepherds would bring their sheep in and they'd all put them in this sheep pen. And they had a gatekeeper that kept the door shut so no, not just anybody could get in there and take sheep out. And so villagers kept them there. It said that a lot of times when the shepherd would bring their sheep in, they would sleep outside the gate so that they could guard their sheep and take care of them. So the shepherds stayed at night, most of them anyway. And only the sheep would recognize. It says only the shepherds of the sheep would be recognized by the gatekeeper. Jesus is the one who will remain, and his flock and keep his sheep living in peace and safety. His teaching voice will guard us from the unreliable teachers who come to steal our hearts and bind us to themselves. They steal, rob, and afflict that everything's, you know, they want to take everything from us and take us from Jesus. So the thing is, we've got to listen to the voice and we've got to follow. And how about verse 10 of John 10:10? It says that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that good, folks, that God cares so much for us that he didn't even withhold his son to die on Calvary's cross just for you and for me? Isn't that neat? Is that not love? How many of you, how many have children? Most of us? Which one would you give that we can crucify today? Anybody? We got so-and-so is sick in the hospital, and I believe if we just crucify one of them, that they'll be healed. Who wants to offer? Anybody? You see how it is? But God loved the world, all of us, so much that he would not withhold the Son, his own, only Son, to suffer all of the sins that we deserve to be punished for so that we could be saved. And how many people do you think are missing it today that don't know this, that don't realize it? And it's not because the word hasn't been preached, and not because most of them haven't heard it several times, but it's because, like the parable says, they didn't want to know. They didn't want to know. They're not ready for it. Maybe later they will be, but right now they're not. So right now what we want to do is I want to kind of go through the Lord's Supper here. I think it's time that we do that. And I want to read this for you first, if I could. It's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 6. It says, Jesus said, I am the living bread, and of course the good shepherd, that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, believes in me, accepts me as Savior, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, that is my body. Of course, this is the Amplified that I'm using because it adds certain points that I think helps me to understand a lot. Verse 53, and Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you and most solemnly, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, that is, unless you believe in me as Savior, and believe in the saving power of my blood, which will be shed for you, You do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood believes in me, accepts me as Savior. They have eternal life. That is now possesses it. And I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. For my flesh is true spiritual food, and my blood is true spiritual drink. So in a nutshell, what all of this is meaning is this. To eat his flesh is to take into your life by faith all that Jesus did for us by giving his body for us. To drink his blood is to take by faith all that the blood of Jesus has purchased for us. This eating and drinking is receiving the life, power, and virtue of all that Jesus is to replace. All that we were in Adam, he replaces all of that. Jesus' blood and body is a tree of life, which is offered to everyone who follows him. Wow, the tree of life. In the garden, it says that if you eat of this, you'll never die. You'll always live. And of course, they chose the wrong tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. So anyway, we're going to take the Lord's Supper this morning. But anyway, God is so good. I pray that you have learned something here about the parable, at least a couple of things. I know I did in studying it. But anyway, that's where I'm at. And in my church, I would always say, all right, you people singing and that, I love the music and I love singing praise to the Lord and all of that, but you've got to give me some time to preach, you know. But anyway, that's where we were. Now, let me close in prayer, because I know we got fellowship afterwards. You're such great people. Thank you. You even smile after having a snack. Hopefully it made you hungry. Amen. That's a good thing. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your people who love you so much. I ask, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, their lives. And Lord, in what little I was able to share today, that you would use that to create such a hunger in their lives and maybe even help them to see you in a better light. Father, you're so good. Jesus, you are truly the bread of life as we've taken today, and you are my good shepherd. Thank you that you lead me, that you help me to hear your voice. And Lord, that you give me the strength and the power to follow you. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.